Welcome to Preview. Our music director, Caleb Gardner, recently had the opportunity to speak with Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Jennifer Higdon. Jennifer opened up about her musical influences and some of the most important moments in her storied career.
Part of the narrative with your work is coming late to the game and your kind of pop music background and influence. With the writing that you've done over the past decades, in what specific ways do you think that that background has influenced your compositions?
One of the things I think I may have picked up from all the pop music I listened to as a kid, I was listening to the Beatles. I remember that it felt like they were always telling a story in all of their songs. There's something about the need to communicate that feels imperative to me. And I know for every artist, this is a little different. Some people actually are interested in just making a statement. Other people are interested in making a statement to a certain group of people. And then other people are interested in just making a statement that they would like everyone to be understood by as many people as possible. And I think for me, or maybe it's just the way my brain is wired, but I know that when I'm composing, I have to turn my ideas over faster because I don't want people to get bored. And maybe that comes from my having gotten bored listening to longer classical works, especially when I was younger and I didn't know as much about it. When I really look back on it now, I have a fondness for melody and rhythm. It sounds really simple. I think that might come from the pop realm. But storytelling through music, even if you don't have words, I'm getting ready to write a string quartet right now, and I'm sitting here obsessing, what am I going to do that's going to make this piece stand out on a concert? What can I do to hold up against, say, Beethoven on the concert? As a composer, you want to make something that will hold the weight of the concert along with the other people on that concert.
As a contemporary classical composer, that's a pretty tough gig to get. Was there a moment, and at any time, practical, philosophical, or professional, where you said, I've made it, that this is my moment?
It was the day I won the Pulitzer Prize. So, which is kind of sad when you think about all the years you're laboring, and you're never quite sure from year to year how it's going to go. And I always felt like I was catching up because I did start late. When that happened, I literally stopped and took a beat and said, oh, wait a minute. I guess this means I've actually made it. It's so corny. It's almost funny when I think about it.
For most people, the moment they win the Pulitzer, they feel like they're at home in their field.
I think it's such a huge thing that it really makes you stop and pause. And it may also, I think, because you do so many interviews in such a short amount of time, like literally hundreds, it does make you pause and it does make you reflect on how the heck you got there. But it's also such a shocking event that you kind of look back at it like, did that really happen? And how did that happen to me? It happens to other people, but to me, it was the moment, though, that I really stopped and said, oh, whoa, okay, maybe I figured this out.
Are there any parts of the award season or just a personal feeling as a composer that stick out to you, or is Pulitzer the thing?
The Pulitzer sticks out. The Grammys stick out. Two of the Grammys, I wasn't at the Grammys when I won them. I saw them online. I think the things that stick out for me actually happen to be the audience interactions. So people getting excited about a piece, or them coming up with tears in their eyes, or sometimes I'll get a letter from someone who said, I was playing in a high school honors orchestra and we did your piece Blue Cathedral, and I can't tell you how much that meant to me. So a lot of it is actually the personal interactions with audience members and musicians who felt touched. First of all, it just seems miraculous that I could make someone have that response. It's also, it reminds you why you write music. Because I think writing music a lot of time is living with doubt. That's the majority of your life. It's just living with questions and doubt and never being on firm footing. That's what it feels like, because you don't know if the next piece you're going to write is going to work, and the thing you're working on now, will this be a piece that will speak to the performers? Will it speak to the audience? You're never on firm footing. This isn't like accounting. It's a form of art. That's pretty different. I so love the interactions with audience members and performers. And I'm lucky because I've had loads of little tiny interactions that just kind of mean the world to me. The grandmother coming up to me with her granddaughter and saying, thank you for writing something that both of us like. things like that that just make you go, wow, that, thank you. That's a real compliment.
It probably speaks to just the sensitivity and the perfectionism of artists, that they never feel they're in that place.
I think that's true. You're 100% accurate with that, yes.
And you know, Jennifer, you have an extraordinarily unique position of being a frequently played contemporary composer, which is even unique to all composers in the history, in that you at least are able or have the opportunities to attend live performances of your own works. Do you do that, and do you find that experience revelatory? Do you find things in your own works? What is that like to go to a live performance of your own work?
It's actually pretty amazing, and I often think it's the best composition lesson you can have, because you go and you can see what's staying with you and when you lose them, when they are not paying attention. I used to tell my students all the time, pay attention in a concert, see where the composer, even if it's an older work that gets done a lot, where do they lose the audience? But it's also kind of a miraculous experience, because I often sit there and think, listening to the accumulation of notes coming off the stage, good grief, did I write that? How the heck did I get myself through that many notes? I mean, I kind of remember sitting through my first opera and thinking, 2.5 hours of music, how the heck did I get myself up this mountain? It just felt like the world's biggest mountain to have climbed. And I remember thinking that when I was writing it, that somehow when you hear the forces coming from the stage, it's even more shocking. I think it's just a miraculous thing every time, to be quite honest. And I always feel like I want to hide in the audience. This is kind of a funny reaction. People say, oh, this must be great sitting there. Everybody's watching you. I'm like, no, I don't really want people watching me. I want them paying attention to the music. But I've also noticed the same thing amongst other composers. I was at a concert with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and John Williams was conducting on the second half, and he came out during the first half before the concert started, right before the conductor walked out. He walked out with like an escort of a couple administrators, and they went into the audience to sit down. And of course, the entire place recognized John Williams and stood up and started applauding. And I could tell he was embarrassed. It was almost like a shyness, which seems kind of strange, but I could totally also respect it. Sometimes you want to just be hidden and let the music be on its own. And the whole experience is miraculous. It's just incredible, actually.
I can't imagine. And if you don't anticipate performing, you know, you're not in that state of mind. And I thank you so much for joining us here at the Classical Station this afternoon.
It's my pleasure. It really is.
Our guest on Preview has been composer Jennifer Higdon. For more information about our programming, please visit our website, theclassicalstation.org. Thank you for your support.